My name is Vern Fleming, and I'm a volunteer with the Louisa County Historical Society.
Okay.
I'm interviewing Mr. James Arts. If you mind, at least introduce yourself also and state what role you had in 1965 at Louisa County High School.
Well, that's a long ways back.
It's a long ways back for both of us.
But, I did a little bit of everything in those days, and I think everybody did, you know. But that was a, I don't know quite the best way to say it, but it was a little bit difficult time for government officials in the county, particularly because they couldn't make up their mind, you know, whether they were going to do what they wanted to do or what the government wanted them to do. So that was I had a good friend who was I used to have breakfast with him every morning when after we all retired, you know.
Yeah.
And he was superintendent of schools
in 1965.
I'm not sure if that was the year, but it was. Okay. Right. I think it was. Because I'm pretty sure it was because he was telling me that one night they had a meeting with some of the people from D.C. had come down and were
these were government officials or lawyers?
Okay. Yeah, these were lawyers. Well, both probably.
Okay.
And the county fathers really didn't want to integrate. I don't think most of them didn't. And the guys came down from Washington, they said, well, I'm going to tell you the way it is, Mr. Superintendent. You're either going to do it or you're going to get your butt in jail. He said, that's the only thing we're going on. He said, you don't have any if, ands, or buts. So they decided they would not go to jail. So.
Okay.
But I really think... based on what I saw, and I didn't really have a major problem with it because I had gone to an integrated college when I went to Shepherd. It was, you know.
Where is Shepherd?
Shepherd's over in West Virginia.
Okay.
In Shepherdstown, West Virginia, just outside Martinsburg.
All right.
And it's a... just a regular university now, and it's grown up quite a bit. But back in those days, it was not a big deal. I mean, we had probably had a little bit less than 50% black.
Wow,
which was pretty good.
Pretty good back in the 60s.
And it was not a big deal. Because I'd already gone through 4 years of that. And see, when I grew up, it was all integrated.
Where did you grow up?
Over in Strasburg, over in the valley.
Okay.
The town I lived in, 99% of the black families lived on one street. Although they worked all over town. And,
right.
You know, that thing. And it wasn't really... kids that I played with when I was growing up, there were, you know, we had both. We lived next to the street where the blacks lived.
And okay.
And it was.
Was
there
a name for that black community? Did it have a?
No, it okay. was. They just lived on B Street.
B Street, okay. And that was in Strasburg.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they changed the name of that. I don't even know what it's called now. Still got a B on it, but they changed the address.
Sure.
But anyway. When the youngsters that lived on B Street went to town, they went right by my house.
Okay.
And many of them were the same age, you know, and we didn't do a lot of togetherness, but we, you know, every now and then they'd stop and we'd pitch baseballs around, you know, and this, that, and the other. Didn't have any fights or anything, but, that sort of stuff, but it was,
Now, what year did you come out of high school in?
I graduated in 54.
Okay. And you came out of Shepherd and...
And then 58? I went to Shepherd in 54, graduated in 58 from there. And then I taught school first job I had was at Harrisonburg High School.
Okay.
I was assistant football coach there, and I had a great head coach. Was there for 40 or 50 years. he was a West Virginian too, but he went to Davis and Elkins over on, it's West Fredericksburg, on 33 actually.
Okay.
But and that's where he went to school, and he was quite a good athlete and a very intelligent coach, but he was beginning his downward career at that time, so he needed somebody to help him. So I luckily got that, and I was really sweating it because I hadn't found a job, and it was like 2 days before football practice started, and I still was pumping gas at my gas station. And a kid that I'd gone to college with came in and stopped and got gas, and we were talking. And he asked me where I was going. I said, I don't have a job yet. He said, well, you ought to check with Harrisonburg because I know they have an opening. So I called that day, and I interviewed that evening, and I had a job.
What was your major in college?
I was a PE major.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you played football in college?
I played, yeah. Okay. I played. The older I got, the more I played.
Okay. Usually that's the case.
Yeah. But we had a decent team. We weren't state champions or anything, but we were decent.
Okay.
And, I played more my senior year than the other year. I was the long snapper, and I got to play every time we scored, which was good. We played some other times too, but that was my major.
Okay.
So I was pretty lucky. I had a good snap when I had to punt. We had to punt. I could snap it without looking. You know, that was early. Early thing, I didn't do much of that. But that's long.
Okay.
Thing. But anyway, did that, and then I went to Harrisonburg and stayed there a year, and then I didn't have to leave, but an opening came open in Strasburg. They were building a new high school, and they were changing over, and a lot of the guys who were there decided they hadn't won a ball game in 13 years.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, it couldn't go anywhere but up, you know, So I went down and took the job. And
as head coach?
Or yeah, assistant? I was head the coach. Only coach.
Only coach, okay.
As far as football goes.
Okay, that's great, going back to your hometown
as yeah.
head football coach.
Yeah, and we didn't, I think we won something like maybe 3 games the first year.
Okay.
And then the next year we got a little better. And then, it's a long story, but that's how I get to Louisa, was our basketball coach was interested in getting close to where he could work on his master's degree. And the job was open as basketball coach at Louisa High School.
What was his name?
Mike Pappas.
Okay.
He was a little short guy, had polio when he was a youngster, and he walked with a big limp, you know, and this, that, and the other. And he was a great guy, but he was strange.
Okay.
And he was a pilot. He had pilot's licenses to fly around. He and I would go on flights one now and then. But, and anyhow. So anyway, he was coming down here, and he came into my dad's station one evening and was getting gas, and he told me that he was, you know, moving down here. And he said, you ought to come along. I said, it's a nice place. He said, they probably needed a football coach too, because I don't think they have any coaches.
So, what year was that, approximately?
That would have been... I was in Harrisonburg 1 year, and I was 58, 59, and then 59, 60, I think 61.
Okay.
62 probably. Not really. Those years kind of run together.
Yeah.
But anyway, I didn't have an interview. I just decided I'd ride along, mainly because Mike had a hard time keeping himself awake when he was driving.
Yeah, that's a long drive through the mountains. Yeah.
So the last thing his wife said was, make sure you stay. He stays awake. And it was a long time joke. But anyway, so we came down here, and Bert Long was the superintendent at that time.
Okay.
And had an office over in the courthouse upstairs in one of the little rooms. And it wasn't as big as this room, really. And they didn't have a football coach. So I talked to him, and he said...
Had the previous football coach left, or?
Yes, and I can't remember who it was.
Okay.
The only coach that stayed here during the turnover was Norman Smith.
I remember him.
Yeah. He was the athletic director at that time and baseball coach. And he's a pretty nice guy, too. I liked him.
I remember him.
We worked together really good. So I went in to be interviewed by Mr. Long, and he didn't go too far. He said, I'd like to talk to you some more, but he said, I'm really busy interviewing other people. He said, can you come back next week? Well, yeah, I said. And he said, bring your wife. He said, she needs to take a look around, too. So I did. And we got to talking to where I had decided, okay, if you want me, I'll come. But I got to know how much money I'm going to make, you know, because I got to move. I had two children at that time. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I have to think about it, look it over and see how much money we have. So that's not very good. So anyway, I came back and interviewed again and brought my wife with me, and we rode around the town and looked around, you know. At that time, they had where the gas station is there on the corner where the Citgo place is.
Yeah.
That was I think it was a Texaco, maybe.
Okay.
And then right behind it, they had a little restaurant. It was a Jim Walter home that they turned into a restaurant. And we were talking, and he said, he told me how, he said, this is how much we got for your salary. And I said, it wasn't very much. I said, well, Mr. Long, I said, I'm making more than that now. And I said, I really don't think I can move at a loss. So we just hummed and hawed around. He said, he reached in his pocket and he gave me a $10 bill. And he said, why don't you take your wife down to the restaurant and have lunch and then come back and we'll talk some more. Well, what happened when we were at the restaurant eating lunch, he went around to some of the businesses downtown and was trying to get some money. That's
true. Wow.
And he went to the bank. I don't know if you remember, or if the bank was there on the corner at the Aug building.
Okay.
It was a bank. It was Bank of Louisa, I think.
Okay.
And Ed Morris was the bank manager, and his son played on the football team, Butch, played on the football team. So Mr. Long went in and talked to him and got $100 from the bank. Ed gave him money. Then he went across the street to Bailey's Drugstore. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, he went in there. At that time, Bailey had a lunch counter, too. A lot of people went in there for lunch. And went in there, and he got $100 from Mr. Bailey. And then around the corner, the laundromat was there. And it was Billy Vaughn ran it when I came, but his son-in-law ran it until they closed. And he went around and got $100 for them. So when I came back, he had laid out $400.
Wow.
And I said, well, okay. So that's how I got to
the interesting. So your job was head varsity coach?
Yeah, I was the head coach.
Any assistants?
I had, I didn't have assistant coach at the time, but this guy right here, this guy.
Okay.
Bill Morris. He was an assistant principal, I think, and history teacher. Yeah. And I talked him into helping me out. And he worked on the defensive side.
Okay.
And that's where we started out.
Okay.
And then Coach Smith, of course, he was the AD. He took care of selling the tickets for the games and running the hot dog, concession stand. And we struggled through, and we didn't do too bad. I think we won maybe 4 games.
Okay.
That was toward the end of the season. But it wasn't too bad because I had some pretty good players. Like I say, Butch Morris was there, and Jerry Shoot, I can't think of his name. He later was Commonwealth Attorney over in Fredericksburg.
Okay.
Very smart kid. And he was pretty good, very good player. And
so like 61, 62?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Ellis boy, Dickie Ellis, that ran the auto parts store over here.
Okay.
He was one of the running backs. And I did have a very good fullback. Wilson Childs.
Okay.
He was a horse. And we rode the horse. But
so you mainly had a running game?
Yeah, we did. We ran most of the time. Although, yeah. I had a freshman quarterback. I didn't start off with a freshman quarterback, but I had a boy named, I think, Dickie Gwynn, I think was his name.
Okay.
He was a senior. And he was the only quarterback we had with experience. And the first game, I think it was against Spotsylvania, he dislocated his shoulder.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't have anybody except a freshman. Dickie Hopkins was a freshman. And he was the only other quarterback I had. And he lived right over here on the next street over.
Okay.
And he was uncommon. I mean, he was, for a ninth grader, he was so far ahead of other ninth graders around, and he just was an excellent quarterback. And I told my wife when I came home from that ball game that night, I said, we're in trouble. I said, we might have to go get another job. But we didn't.
Okay.
And that was another nice thing about Louisa. When we won the first game, beat Spotsylvania, well, it was like walking on water.
You were a hometown hero. Huh?
Yeah. Went uptown, and my wife had never been uptown other than just riding through, you know.
Right.
And we lived in, Mr. Long had a house where the fire department building is now. It was a big old white house there. And it belonged to his wife, Sam. And I couldn't find, there weren't any houses for rent around here. I mean, there just weren't any.
Yeah.
There were a few that were old houses, and they were built up on cinder blocks, and chickens were running under my pigs and all that. My wife said she wasn't going to do that. So I told Mr. Long, I said, I just can't find a place. He said, well, he talked real slow. He said, maybe my wife will work it. So he ran me that $35 a month.
Wow.
Cost $40 a month to heat it.
Okay.
But that was where we lived, and we walked uptown the day after morning after the ball game.
Yeah,
I could have bought the whole town. I swear to God, I could. Went in Bailey's and he gave us breakfast. Walked in the door and he said, "Hey, coach, how you doing? Great game, blah blah blah." He goes, "Sit down, I'll fix you some breakfast."
That's great.
Yeah, so that was the beginning of it.
And okay, so fast forwarding to 1965. Now, when did you first learn that school was going to be integrated?
I guess it was the first day of school.
Okay, there was no prep warning?
I guess there was, because I remember we had a couple of the teachers in the black school. I forget what was the name of that place.
A.G. Richardson, the black high school?
Yeah, I guess it was.
A.G. Richardson,
That's right. And I knew the coach over there. I didn't know him, but except, you know, just because we were coaches. I met him a couple times.
I don't think they had a football team.
They didn't have a football team. Okay. See, that was one thing.
That
it wasn't. I wasn't bothered one way or the other, because I knew I wasn't going to have any problem with the team, I didn't think, because we weren't going to have integration on the football. They didn't have anybody come out. But we did have two boys show up and want to come out after they got over here.
Okay.
And I can't remember the name. I've been trying.
I think it was Joe Morris and maybe Robert Wright or Steve Wright.
The Morris name sounds familiar.
Okay.
But I don't think he came out. Well, he may have come out, but he really the two boys that came out, and it may have been both those boys, I just can't remember their names.
I know they both played basketball, but I know.
Yeah, they did play basketball. Right. I remember that.
So there was, yeah, Robert
but they Wright. Played basketball over there, too, see.
Right, like, correct.
And because my youngest son, he was about this big when we moved, after we moved down. In fact, he was born in Louisa.
Okay.
He and I, when he got big enough that I could, he could walk by himself, you know, we went to the games a couple times over there.
Okay.
And that's how I got to meet the coach. And he's a very nice fellow. I really liked him. But the difference was that those two boys, whoever they, and I think that's mm-hmm. right, really didn't have any idea about what they had to do to play football. You know, right. They just said they wanted to play. And I wasn't going to turn them around because the one boy, the oldest boy, I guess it was, what was his name?
Joe Morris.
Yeah. He was a pretty good looking kid, mm-hmm. Physically. Mm-hmm. But he didn't know football from applesauce. And he ran, he was pretty good speed, but he didn't understand, you know, the things that you have to learn as you play, like, or you're going to, if you're going to run this way, you know, you have to look for your openings and this, that, and that. But, so I never could use him very much. Mm-hmm. And but like I say, because I had this horse in there anyway, so and they didn't come in when practice, they didn't get any of the preseason practice at all.
Right.
Which was another drawback. They just showed up. And like I say, they were both good-looking kids, mm-hmm. you know, as far as, you know, looking like could play. But they could run, and that was about it. And they didn't understand formations and, you know,
right.
offense and defense and what you could do on defense that you couldn't do on offense, and this kind of, they didn't have any of that connection. So they played very little.
Right.
And I lost two white boys dropped off the team because of that.
Because they didn't want to
play.
The team?
Yeah, okay. They said they weren't going to play with blacks. And I can't remember. I think they were, well, I know one of them was a Madison. Boy.
Okay, well, we don't need to mention names.
Yeah, I would. I hesitate. But they lived out on 55, and okay. they were very set about not going to school
okay.
mixed races. So.
Now, that first year, did you play any other schools that had black players?
I don't remember.
Okay. It must not have been an issue if you don't remember.
No.
Yeah, okay.
I really can't remember any of them, but they may have all had somebody. I don't
right.
know, you know, because I know we played Spotsylvania the first year that I was here, and that was always our opening game.
Yeah.
And I don't remember. I know later on Spotsylvania had some pretty good athletes.
Okay.
Then, of course, the Hopkins boy was, like I say, he was a super athlete. He was a straight A student. I think the only non A he ever got was one I gave him in PE. I didn't want it to go to his head.
That had to be a shocker for him.
Yeah, but he went to UVA on a baseball scholarship.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah. He was a pretty good baseball player. He played everything.
Wow.
He started on the basketball team as a freshman, started on the baseball team.
Wow.
He was just a great athlete. And he ran track. We didn't have track even. But I wanted to start a track team.
Right.
So I started going around to the players, you know, and talking to them, getting them interested in those who weren't playing something else. And we had a track team. We didn't have a track. And the guy who brought me down here was a physics teacher. And I talked to him into going out. And, you know, down in the bottom where the track,
yeah.
the dirt right. track is.
Yeah.
That's where our track was, and we laid it off, and it was not, it wasn't an oval, it was more like a round track.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think, you remember the guys that used to run Southern States, Marshall?
I remember the store, but not the
Yeah, well, there were two brothers that ran okay. that, and they lived over here on, where the circle is as you come down off the main street down and
right.
back and left in that circle. They lived in there. And they donated, they and I'm trying to think of the insurance salesman guy's name. He had a wooden leg and he walked with a limp.
Really?
And his office was down here where the, the lawyer's name. It has an office there next to the bank.
Okay.
Anyway, that's where his office was.
Okay.
And he was a big time fan. And he gave the two, he and the Marshall boys donated enough gravel or fine stone
right.
to make a track.
Wow.
And we went to Coach Smith and I went to Richmond to the they have a army base down there that does sells stuff that the army doesn't want to use anymore.
Surplus. Yeah.
And we got two hurdles.
Really?
The little wooden hurdles, you know.
Yes, I remember that.
And two hurdles and a pole vaulting pole. And I don't know, may have gotten one or two. Oh, we got a popcorn machine.
That's important.
And a bus.
Oh, really?
We got a bus, school bus.
Cool.
Paid $100 for it. But it was an Army colors. It was a drab.
Okay.
And we brought all that stuff back. And at that time I was teaching, I'd taken out of the history department and we were starting a new program. It was called an ICT program.
Okay.
Which was industrial cooperative training. And they don't have that anymore either, but, and that was, I'd go around and get jobs, try to line these kids up for jobs, you know.
Right.
And they go to school half a day and go out and work half a day. So I took those kids out and we started rehabbing the bus.
Okay.
It had carpet in the floor and it was taller than most buses, taller than the student buses. We did put clean the carpet and sanded all the rough spots off. And Mr. Kemp was this school bus mechanic.
Okay.
And had a little shop behind the school there. And he painted it yellow.
Okay.
Make state color it. And we put bus lights on it, you know, and we used that for our athletic bus.
Now, was Mr. Harry Martin the principal when you first arrived, or he became principal?
He was the principal when I got there, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you recall any discussions that he may have given the teachers advice on when black students arrived, any advice?
I think it was just, it wasn't anything high key or anything, because he's a super guy. Mm-hmm. I thought he's the best, one of the best principals I ever worked for. And he's an old UVA player, played football at UVA.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I remember his wife also, real petite, small.
She was the librarian, I mean the guidance counselor.
Yes.
And Alice Estes was
there. Yeah.
Harry Martin, of course, he played back in the days when they didn't have mouthpieces or face masks.
Had leather helmets.
Yeah, leather helmets. But for a long time, he had the record for the longest run from scrimmage without making a first down. He ran 40-some yards. He went back to punt. And he was backed up against his own goal line. He told me, he said, well, you know, I said, I can't kick it very far enough to do any good. I think I'll just run it as far as I can get.
Oh, really?
49 yards.
Wow.
I remember when they did, they had some kind of honor for him. They had at one of the games, he brought him out at halftime in his wheelchair at that time yet, and gave him some kind of thing.
But you can't recall him saying
no. Okay. I just think it was, for with him, it was sort of business as usual. He said, we got to do this, so we're going to do it.
Okay.
And, you know, but now I will say this. The kids, and I really I know one told me this, but I believe they handpicked the kids they were going to send. I don't think they sent them all over. Like, it seemed to me it was like maybe 20 or so.
The first year it was 13.
13, okay.
Yes.
And they were, every one of them were good students.
Well, I was one of them. So.
Were you?
I don't think I was a great student.
Yeah. But yeah. They were all, and, you know, I said, this is an up. I mean, these kids are, you know, they come to school dressed, you know, dressed nice and very polite. And I said, wow, we should have these kids all. But they were. I think they were handpicked and probably turned out to be good because they were all good students. And they were. I don't think there was any discipline problems. And I don't think there were any fights that broke out.
Yeah, I interviewed, of the 13, two have deceased. One is in a nursing home, and two others didn't interview. I think I interviewed nine of the 13.
Still living.
Still living, yes.
Yeah.
And so they had pretty interesting stories also.
Yeah.
Now, do you recall any conversations of parents who expressed concerns about integration?
Oh, I think there was a lot of that.
Okay. Anything but you recall about direct conversations?
Not directly to me.
Okay.
See, I had... There was another thing, and I started to tell you this while ago and got sidetracked, which is again very common. But they were going to start a Head Start program,
right?
And they of course started in the elementary schools.
Yes,
and they needed people to do that, you know, to be the teachers. And like I said, I wasn't making much money anyway. They were going to pay us $75 a month, so I said, sign me up. And I don't even remember any of the other teachers who were involved, but I was one of the teachers for the Head Start over at that Richardson
School. Okay. Yeah.
And these were all preschoolers, I'm sure. I had a whole classroom,
mm-hmm.
5-year-olds, I guess. And I had a daughter at that time who was preschool, wasn't going to. And she always wanted to go with me. So I said, well, get in, we'll go. So I took her. And
okay.
She was the only white child in the Head Start.
Wow.
And she was in my class. And the kids in there, because I know that none of them had ever gone to school with a white child before. And probably had never been close to them.
But yeah. What year was that? You recall?
That was the year we entered, or they started with.
Oh, really?
It was
okay.
The same year, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was, we used to, and I had never taught that grade level either, you know, and it wasn't really teaching as much as it was just trying to get them acclimated to being in a schoolroom, you know.
Right.
And some of those little children must have had really bad home life situations as far as, well, I won't. There was a couple of them, obviously, didn't have indoor plumbing. Because I had a little boy that had to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley was all I can remember. His first name was Stanley. And he talked with a real deep voice.
Could have been 5 years old with a deep voice.
Yeah, I had a deep voice. And he came up to me and he said, stood there and tapped on my desk. And I said, what do you need, Stanley? He said, I gotta go pee. So I showed him where the bathroom
was. Yeah.
And he went back there and he was afraid to, because he thought maybe when he flushed it, it was gonna suck him down. And I said, geez. So we had some of the girls the same way. They didn't want to go in there. But Patsy helped me do that with a lot of, because that was my daughter. And she would show them where to go, you know. Mm-hmm. And but we had our activities, you know, and then after lunch, we put these big pads, and we just lay them on the floor, and they'd lie down and take a nap.
Okay.
And she would do that too. My daughter would. She'd lie down on her little thing there, and there was two little girls that she'd gotten to be friends with. And they would lie down right on either side of her, and they'd play with their hair.
Oh, really?
And you know, It was a different hair from what they were having. But I had to go out to some of the homes and take, you know, sometimes and do visitations with it. And some of the homes were pretty, pretty bad.
You can imagine.
There was one, I can't remember where it was even, but I remember it had dirt floors in the house. And there's had about 9 children, no father. And I said, you know, that was difficult situation. But we had to do it, so.
Right.
Then,
so was that the summer before integration or the summer afterwards?
I'm not sure. I think that was, I believe that was the summer before.
Okay.
Because I had a problem with getting my mail. Post office didn't, because I was one of the people involved in the Head Start program, and they didn't like, I guess didn't like that, and they just stopped bringing my mail.
Really?
Yeah. I had a good.
So were you the only white teacher there?
There was only maybe 2 or 3 black teachers.
Okay, but all the students except your daughter were white.
Yeah,
black.
She was the only white child.
Okay, that's interesting.
And that was an interesting time, but like I say, we didn't do a whole lot of teaching. It was more association and getting to know, you know, being around the whites and the blacks together. I suppose it was good. I don't see any reason why it wasn't. I mean, I know it helped a lot of them who, had, like I say, had never been that close to a white child in my class. And so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, during that first year, did you observe, whether it be students or teachers, make any comments that were of a racial nature?
No, I can't remember any of that, anything like that. And it took some getting used to.
Right.
Just by fact that there were, when classes changed, there were blacks and whites school. And they would be just like we are, you know, walk. And they, after a while, they got to be, you know. And I know, like I say, I know there were two of them, two boys played basketball.
Right.
And I don't know how much they played because I was the popcorn guy when they took basketball. But.
Interesting.
It was an interesting year, but like I say, I don't think we ever had any situations.
Okay.
And I think that was partially because the young kids that came over from Richardson, I think they must have been somewhat programmed, you know, to be on your best behavior. Because I never saw him.
Yeah, of that original 13, you have 4. Were eighth graders, so they came from elementary school throughout the county. Yeah. But yeah, the 9 were from transferred from Richardson.
Yeah. And I'll tell you the truth, the two boys that came out for football, I wish they'd have come had them for preseason. Well, I believe they could have played more. It may have helped us play. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Louisa. You know, I know when I entered high school, I had no clue about football either. There were no Pop Warner leagues or anything.
No, nothing. There was no development leagues at all.
Interesting. As far as, you kind of made the comment that at least the black students that you interacted with seemed to be, you said, at least average or above average as far as.
I think they seemed to be, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I had any in my class.
Okay. Because it says, at least in the yearbook, you were 8th grade history teacher. And I'm not sure who else would teach you 8th grade history because I was 8th grade. But I don't recall being in
class. I don't remember. I had 8. I don't. The first year, that year, I taught 8th grade history and I guess it was 11th grade history.
Okay.
That was because the seniors went to government. And that was
this Mr. guy. Brantley? Or Mr. Morris? Okay.
Yeah. Well, see, he was here when.
Yeah.
Did you have him for a class?
I recall having Mr. Brantley for something, and I can't recall
which. Oh, yeah, well, that's where we saw that.
But
Lester was, he had a British accent. I don't know if he
was. Yeah, it was very proper.
Yeah, and he always wore a three-piece suit.
Okay.
And I remember I was, my class was, my history class was upstairs at the top of the steps. The very first classroom as you went up the steps.
Right.
On the football field side at the end of the building.
Okay.
And Lester was right across the hall.
Okay.
And I remember one day in there, I don't remember if it was that year, I think it was maybe the next year. And two girls in Lester's class got in a fight.
Really?
Yeah. And they came out in the hall and they were fighting and carrying.
That had to be interesting.
And it was at the class, it was as the class was changing. And I went out to see what was going on. And here's Lester. And he's in the middle. He gets in the middle of these two girls and trying to separate them. One of them hit him up here beside his, knocked him off his butt. And
so what did you do?
I went over and helped him up. I said, Lester, I said, let this be a lesson. There's two girls fighting. Do not get in between them. And I guess he didn't have to worry about that anymore.
Wow.
I mean, they flattened him. And one of the girls was a sister to these two boys that
okay.
would not play.
All right.
Madison, they lived over on.
Interesting.
Side 22. But, and that was the only fight that, well, we had some fights among the white kids. Yeah. On, you remember they used to have senior day?
Right.
And the doorway on this end of the building was off limits unless you were a senior.
Right. I remember that.
And I remember there was a kid who was playing freshman football for me. He decided he was going to break the barrier. He was a ninth grader, and he was going to go
break tradition. And
yeah, okay. Well, he got in the doorway. That's as far as he got. You remember any of the Burris families?
Yes, a few.
There was one of them who was in my class, history class, and he was. I can't remember his first name, but he had a hand like a brick. I mean, it was a big fist, and he hit that boy. I thought he killed him. The little boy went like this and rolled right back.
He took that senior day seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but normally it was pretty good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Thinking about just in the community, did you have any interaction with blacks outside of school?
No.
Yeah.
Can't think of any.
Okay.
But it was no. I didn't have any.
Okay.
There were none that lived on the street I lived in.
Right.
Lived on. I lived on that first street coming up out of Mineral.
Right.
And Mrs. Bumpus lived across the street from me.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She was a piece of cake, too.
She lived a long time. She was like 102, 103.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, she's right on up there.
Yeah, I know. She was a librarian.
Yeah. She taught. She was a Latin teacher before that.
Okay.
But she ruled that library with an iron hand.
Good. Now, some kids transferred away to Rock Hill Academy.
Yes, it did. I don't know who. I don't remember any of them.
Okay.
They didn't get any of my athletes.
Okay.
I didn't have anybody go on that. Yeah, in that respect.
Again, don't look for any names, but the students that transferred out, how much do you think, just in your opinion, was it the students' idea that they wanted to leave, or was it the parents that says you've got to leave?
I think it was more parents than anything else.
Okay.
Actually, I think in general, the interaction between the students, what I could see,
mm-hmm.
was pretty good, really. Like I say, I don't remember any Actually, the Louisa kids were pretty good kids. I mean, overall, mm-hmm. I thought, particularly based on where I had been before. Yeah, good.
Now, I've heard stories, and again, I lived, grew up in the far eastern part of the county, so mm-hmm. I didn't get to Mineral or Louisa very often.
Yeah.
But a number of folks who lived in the area said Mineral had a different mindset than like the town of Louisa.
Well, I think it did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything you recall about that policies?
No, I think it was just redneck Mineral.
Okay.
And a lot of my friends lived in Mineral, mm-hmm. you know, and all, but. I can't remember any problems that came up. I know I remember one time when I was also a volunteer fire department, which is another. It was like Ma and Paul Kettle or some of those country things. They were really funny, but I don't want to get into that, but I remember we bought a new truck, and they wouldn't use it for a while because they didn't want to get it mixed up.
Save it for a rainy
day. Yeah. Well, one night we had a fire, and probably the only time that I ever got there that I got to drive the truck.
Really?
Because there was a pecking order, you know, you had to be in the right place at the right time. Usually somebody would pull the truck out of the building, and then you had to get out and put the antenna up. And a lot of times, when the driver would get out to put the antenna up, somebody would get in behind him. And I got caught on that one time, but we had a fire down on 522 out of Mineral on down mm-hmm. pretty good ways, and it was a way back off the road, and Norman Smith and I were driving. We had the truck and I was driving, and we were the lead vehicle. We pulled in to go back into the, it was an old dirt road, you know, and I got a call from the chief, said, "Don't take that new truck down that road, said, you'll scratch the paint."
Oh, wow.
So I sat there until the other trucks came in. I didn't get to go. But there was an old guy, a man lived back there by himself. And hell, his house burned down. And I don't think that was because he was black or anything, because I don't know who he was. But they didn't want to take that truck down.
Wow. That's good.
But that was Louisa Mineral.
Okay. So, when did you retire? Did you retire from Louisa?
No.
Okay. How long were you?
I think I was only here three years.
Okay, so not long after integration you left then?
But that wasn't the reason. I went for 1 month.
I understand. Okay.
And that was another story. That was probably one of the worst decisions I made.
Leaving Louisa?
Yeah.
Okay. So where did you go?
Culpeper.
Okay. How long were you there?
Just 1 year. That was okay. All I could take.
Oh, okay.
And I don't want this to sound like it's sour grapes or anything, but it was, the administration up there was terrible. And see, they were integrating too, but they'd already integrated the year before, I guess.
Okay.
It was a different situation up there. I got chewed out because I took a black football player to the hospital in my private car. First day of practice, my first day on the job.
Yeah.
And we were doing our, you know, stuff, and this kid passed out. I saw him in the back of the line, and he was a good looking football player. He just plopped out. And I went running back to see what was going on, and he was out. And I started doing what little I could, you know.
Like a heat stroke or something?
Yeah, it just got too hot, yeah. And I said, well, we got to get him to a hospital or something. And I, And I didn't know how to get in contact with the rescue squad. I'd never been briefed with any of that kind of stuff. So one of the kids said, just go down this street, so-and-so, and the hospital's right there. So I put him in my car and drove him down there. Got to the hospital, had him admitted, called his parents. And his father wasn't home, but his mother came. She had to get a ride, but she came to the hospital. And then I left, and I said, now you call me when you're ready to go home. And well, they called me later on that day, and I went back and got him and took him home. And apparently somebody saw me driving down the road with this black kid in the car and reported to the superintendent. Called me in on the carpet the next day. And he said, Coach, he said, I didn't hire you to take black kids around school, or around town, haul them around town in your car. So I didn't do anything about it, but I got to looking. I said, I'm not going to put up with this. Because by this time, at Culpeper at least, we had probably better than 25% black players.
Okay.
And I certainly wasn't going to make them mad. I mean, I ain't stupid.
Yeah.
You know. So I started looking for another job.
Okay. Where did you go from there?
Went to Garfield up in Prince William County.
Okay.
And now that was my best bet. And I wasn't hired as a coach. I was an ICT teacher. I went up because they were starting an ICT program.
Okay.
And that's how I got a job. Talked to the superintendent. He said, yep, you're ICT. Come on. Hire you right now. And I made about $12,000 a year more to start.
Wow.
It wasn't hard at that. But I say it was the best job I ever had. The first year we were undefeated.
Wow.
Hired a coach from Grundy down the southwest.
Yeah.
And Brownie Cummins was his name, and he came up and brought one assistant. And I was, like I say, I wasn't hired as a coach. And I was there doing my summer work, and he was walking the halls, and we got talking. And he said, you got coaching experience, haven't you? I said, yeah. He said, would you like to help? And I said, sure. I got nothing else to do, you know. I didn't get any pay for that,
okay.
But that was okay, because I was making. Mm-hmm. And we not only were undefeated, we didn't give up any touchdowns until the next to the last game.
Really?
And we did not give up a score until the next to the last game.
That was a good year.
Yes, it was.
So, did you live in Louise all that time?
No,
okay.
I lived in Culpeper, and then I went from Culpeper.
Okay. To what brought you back to Louisa then?
Well, didn't have any place else to go.
Okay.
No, when I retired, we decided we were going to move out of the Northern Virginia area.
Right.
And I didn't know any place to go, so we were riding around. Why not riding around one day? And we came down here, and stopped at Hardee's, which even then was a watering hole. And they had a payphone outside, and I was talking to. Oh, I ran into a boy that I coached. His dad taught Lancaster.
Yes.
You remember George, right. George Lancaster?
Yeah, sure do.
Well, Kenny was his.
Right, Kenny was a senior.
Yeah, well, he was one of my track guys.
Okay.
Well, I coached here.
And his younger brother, John Mark, was in my class.
Right, and his older brother, George, was also a football player. And I saw him in there, and I was at Hardee's, and he came in and said, aren't you Jim Arts? I said, yeah. I said, no. And we talked. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was doing real estate at that time, and we were talking. I told him, I hadn't seen any place I wanted to live yet, but I said, he said, well, why don't you go over and check on the golf course? Because at that time, Mr. Cavanaugh owned the golf course.
Okay.
And he developed it. So I went over and saw him, and we looked around. And, my wife and I talked about it quite a bit. I said, you know, that's pretty good. I said, we can get a lot there. And my lot is right on the 15.
Okay.
Right as you go in there. Uh-huh. I picked it out. And it was two lots, and he sold me two lots for the price of one, which...
Wow.
Couldn't turn that down. I've been there ever since.
That's great.
That was a lot of fun coming back, seeing the kids that I had coached. And Donnie C. was working over to... No, I take it back. He was helping to do some work. He had a tractor, you know, front end loader, and he was helping do some grading and stuff on some of the house. And I was at playing golf, and he came in the pro shop. And I heard this voice that sounded familiar. And it was him, and I turned around and I said, Donnie, coach, and he come up. Then his son, DP, was a golf pro over there for a while.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's where I got to. And I haven't regretted that a lot at all.
Well, I've covered all the questions that I have. Anything you want to share that we haven't already talked about?
No, I thought it was a very good experience. It was good for me because I had never been, but it was also, I think, the atmosphere of the whole school system, maybe, was very good for that. Now, some of the parents probably did, but that's...
But probably going back to where you first shared about it, superintendent said it was go to jail and integrate.
That's right. He said, what was his name? Frank.
But it was after Bird Long. It was someone came in.
Yeah, Mr. Okay. Long. What the heck?
No, that's okay.
I can't think of it. But he and Gerald Hyder were like this. Gerald used to run the laundromat after.
Yeah.
Because Gerald married Billy Vaughn's daughter.
Okay.
And that's how he got that. I don't know. I'll think of it tomorrow.
Okay. Well, Mr. Arts, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you sharing, and it definitely was entertaining for me.
Well,
and interesting, yeah, but a lot of great stories.
Well, there are some stories. I mean, you know, I think I got a lot of stories I can tell you, but it wouldn't be, it's not in that, you know.
Maybe. We'll have a cold one someday, maybe.
Oh, and you graduated from here when?
1970. So I came in 65, and we were the first, and that was the first year also my senior class when it was fully integrated, when they closed.
Right, yeah.
Richardson from being a high school and being a junior high.
Oh.
So I kind of saw
it. Isn't it just a middle school now? I mean, or elementary?
No, they tore it down.
Yeah, but the new school.
In
the new school over there?
I don't even know what school. I think it must be a middle school.
Okay. Because it was the earthquake.
Right.
The earthquake put the old school down.
Right. The earthquake put the old high school down, so that's where they built the new high school.
Right.
In Richardson, they tore down. I'm not sure it was because of damage or not.
Yeah.
But the landscape has changed a lot.
Yeah.
But no, thank you so much. I think we're done. But yeah, so you said a lot of...